Welcome to the Buy Box Bandits podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Buy Box Bandits podcast. Today we have another awesome guest. If you guys haven't already, make sure you check out SellerAmp, our sponsor at SellerAmp.com. You can get a completely free trial of the product research tool right there. But we have Alexi joining us today, who we were talking off camera, has several different e-commerce businesses and ventures. We're excited to dig into all that. Garrett and I, we actually met Alexi back at the Miami conference in 2021 on there and everything. So we were just saying 15 Amazon stores, 5 eBay stores, distribution company, all this kind of stuff and everything like that. But thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you want to take us back to right when you were just getting going and also just kind of talk to your current operation as well.
So when I start, it's almost a decade now ago. I started with my own website, selling supplements and vitamins. That was kind of a niche that we started with. And then we decided to expand into marketplace like Amazon, eBay, Rakuten at that time. We were doing phenomenal. You know, our sales were growing exponentially. But then, like we all know, Amazon is very unpredictable. So it started, it happened to us, like we got accounts suspended and we had so much money on hold. So we decide to diversify more and make sure that, you know, this type of problems, it will happen, but at least it doesn't hurt us as much. So that's why we start diversifying into different categories. We also start opening new Amazon stores. So currently we have, like you mentioned, 15 Amazon stores. It's not that just because we want to, but because we are so diversified, and that's the best way to mitigate the risk in case something happens with one of the stores. You know, same thing with the categories. You know, something happens with a specific category, you also have some other categories that you sell on, and you also mitigating the risk this way. Plus eBay, Shopify, we all know it doesn't sell as much, but you have another channel that if something happens with the product that you just cannot sell on Amazon anymore, at least you have another channel, slow, but another channel to sell the products on.
So starting with that initial website, what did that look like? How did you generate traffic to that website? And how did you even come up with the idea to get into supplements to begin with?
So me and my college friend, we had a consulting business for pharmacists. So we were giving consulting to pharmacy, whoever want to open a pharmacy, we were helping them with all licensing, the process, getting the vendors set up. And one of the pharmacists mentioned about this website, which is still on, called pureformulas.com. And they were selling millions of dollars at that time. Now they're even bigger. And they were selling vitamins, nutraceuticals, and some supplements. So that definitely catch our attention, and we decide to start the venture and see how it goes. So that's the way we start.
Yeah, and just to reiterate for the audience, so these are your private labeling, like building the formula, everything like that, or is it wholesale where these are like items that already exist, brands?
Wholesale. Wholesaling. So we were basically buying directly from the brands or distributors and really reselling them on our website. The way we market, like you ask, it's through Google marketing, you know, Google Shops. We didn't do much of social media. I mean, now we're implementing some, but Google Shop, it's a great way to market, you know. I mean, it works a little bit more harder when you do private label in that case, but when you flip the products or resell the products that already have the demand in the market, you just need to make sure you give a great customer service or you have a better price than anybody else.
Yeah, because it's similar to Amazon that people already know what they want. It's just like search intent and stuff like that and everything. So it really makes sense. That's the biggest thing beginners are always, they're not sure about is, okay, how do I differentiate myself or how can I sell these items when nicely people already want them? And then once you understand like buy box rotation, everything, it just inevitably, like when you're priced competitively and and everything like that. And then what's your favorite of the sales channels?
My favorite one? Well, I'm doing my side hustle right now with Airbnb.
Oh,
so, so in my opinion, honestly, it's Airbnb. I mean, I do. I mean, Amazon is my cash cow. You know, that's where I sell the most. That's where I make the money the most. But we all know Amazon is not very friendly. You know, it's you need to be really on top of the game. You have to make sure you follow all the regulations, all the policies, because it's really easy to get shut down, and it's very hard to get reinstated. So it's, you have to be on top of the game, you know. But it's definitely the best time. I did the other day a presentation talking about that the wholesale model, in my opinion, is the best time to start. You know, private label is getting harder and harder. I done it before. I sold my company in 2020. It was a nice exit. And I haven't launched any other brands since then, because I think it's Amazon squeezing a lot of profits. PPC is getting a lot more expensive. But if you have a nice distributor or a nice relationship with the brand and you can wholesale, I think that's the best way to do it. And less capital intense as well. You know, with the private label, I didn't make any money until they sold the company. Like for 5 years, it was just a lot of work, a lot of positioning, a lot of expansion with the catalog, with the different retail stores internationally, but no money making. You know, it was just reinvesting all the time until we sold the company. So it's very hard to start with that model, in my opinion. Best way is wholesale right now.
Yeah, because there's so much lower risk when you're selling products that already sell. Like you have a very good idea of the, on a micro level, the exit plan for every item, right? You can see seller and profit calculator, okay, I'm going to make a 30% ROI. It sells 500 times a month. There's 20 people, so I can probably capture, you know, 10% of those or 5% of those if I'm priced competitively and everything like that. And then I know, so you're Miami based, right?
Right.
So has it always been like warehouses in that area, or is it 3PLs in other states, or what's the current operation look like?
So I have currently, I have three warehouses. I have two here in South Kendall. I have another one in Doral. And the reason is because I have different business partners who have a different operations, but here in Kendall, I do fulfillment and I do the distribution. So I help other sellers as well to get products and also fulfill products for them. But if I buy in some products out of state, which is happens a lot too, like in California or New York or in the middle of United States, I usually do not bring them back to Miami. I ship directly to Amazon. And some vendors help me to do the fulfillment, some don't. So I have to basically ship them to a fulfillment center in the state. Because right now the logistic is too expensive. You know, it's just not worth it bringing to Miami and then send it to stores. I'd rather do it from the States where I'm buying.
Yeah. Do you know Javier Mundo Amazon? He's in Doral. He's a beast, man. You don't know him? Oh, he's a good guy. I'll send you his Instagram. He's one of our guys down there. He's a beast. And he's in Doral as well, doing a ton of wholesale.
Cool. That was the warehouse that you went to, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, we might go there again in when we're down there and everything.
Awesome.
That sounds good. And for people who are unsure, so Prep Center and 3PLs are pretty much the same thing, except Prep Center is a little bit more typically, if you call yourself a Prep Center, you're probably a little bit more OA friendly. If you call yourself a 3PL, you're probably a little bit more traditional e-com wholesale PL friendly and everything like that. And then like just kind of taking us back. So you've been at it for a while, obviously. Where were the big inflection points that you like really were like, okay, this works, I need to double down heavily, if there were any specific ones?
As far as like selling a specific category, give me a little bit more details.
Like your journey. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be like, okay, 2017, 2018, our sales grew like crazy. And I knew like I wanted to take on a loan and really grow, you know, something like that.
I mean, I'm constantly growing. There's a lot of always setbacks in the company. We all know, you know, it's a lot of ups and downs. You can get a challenging with, I don't know, setback with a big inventory, amount of inventory that you bought, or you got a lawsuit, which I also went through a couple of times. So it's always ups and downs, but the model itself, like I mentioned, wholesale for me, I'm really into it. I'm not planning to launch any private label soon. I'm just double down on wholesaling, and whatever cash I'm making, I'm investing into real estate and doing short-term rentals and or long-term rentals. You know, that's my blueprint right now. That's what I do. So in the future, I just can retire on the income, passive income that I'm getting from my properties.
I feel it.
So what does that account acquisition look like for you? Are they brands, distributors? And how is your team acquiring those relationships and acquiring those accounts?
For like accounts where I'm buying the products from?
Correct, yeah.
So it's different ways. It depends. I'm constantly looking for other sellers, what they sell. You know, I have a team that just using Smart Scout, which is great software, and basically looking everything that's going on with the different products and trying to get the accounts for them all the time. You know, that's a never ending work. You cannot be reliable on any of the brands or any of the distribution, the relationship that you have, because it can end at any time, you know? So you never can stop looking for products. That's something that you have to do on a constant basis. You know, it's part of your day-to-day job.
Yeah. And do you find more success with brands or more success with distributors?
Distributors is very easy to work with. I mean, they all want, all they want is the volume. You know, as much as you can represent a good chunk of money with them, they're all good. With brands, it's another story. You need to, there's a lot more of forecasting, building the relationship, making sure you can bring value to them, you know, not just being any seller, you know, because they don't want that. You would just replace the number. They want add. You want them to show that you can add more value to them and more sales. So that's a relationship with the brand. It's a lot more harder, but it's a lot more stable too, you know, because distributor, they can have that brand today. They may not have that tomorrow. But if you have a relationship with the brand, it's more solid. Still not 100% sure, you know, they can still cut you off after like a year or two with the contract, but it's still more solid, I think.
So you talk about bringing value to that brand relationship. What are some ways that you have, you know, brought that extra value that may have positioned you better than another Amazon seller? And what are some of the things that the viewers can do and start to implement into their relationships?
Sure. There's different needs for every brand. So you need to analyze them deeply to make sure where can you add the value, you know, because there is some brands that are very good positioned on Amazon. So you're going to say, oh, I'm going to position you on Amazon. That will not work because they're already very good in position on Amazon. So you need to find another way, let's say additional channel. Let's say you're going to start selling them on Walmart, or you're going to position them on eBay or South American marketplace like Mercado Libre. That's what I use a lot. So you need to analyze really good the brand and see where there's opportunity for you to basically squeeze in, you know, and give them that additional value.
Yeah, so it could be, yeah, like bad listings, like, you know, photos bad, like they're not keyword optimized. And I'm trying to think if like even you could get a sense of like if a product's just selling not as well as it should based on the rank and stuff, if maybe it's like something you like if you're when you're deep into supplements and you know that a brand's huge in like Walmart.com, just like the supplement community or whatever, but it's like undervalued on Amazon or a specific listing or something like that. Right there. Are you typically cold calling, cold emailing? What's the, like in terms of getting wholesale accounts, what's the ideal acquisition channel?
I mean, there's all the above, you know, you cold call, you email them, you basically go to trade shows. That's the one I like the most because you have a personal interaction. So it's more, you know, like a vibe. If you really like have some good of a connection with the rep, then you have some leverage. You know, but sometimes email works as well, you know, not with the brands as much, but with the distributors, With the brands, again, best way is to go into a trade show in a specific niche, let's say trade show of supplements or trade show of electronics, and then develop some sort of a connection with the rep or representative of the brand.
What are some of your favorite trade shows that maybe the viewers can check out, whether in Florida or across the country?
In my category, I love Expo West and Expo East. That's the top one in my industry. There's another one, like Europa Sport trade show, Olympia trade show, which is all like bodybuilders and all that. And there's a lot of supplements company there.
Yeah.
So those are in that niche, but in every niche, there's a trade show. You know, now we have one coming up in February in ASD. You know, ASD, I was able to pick up at least two or three contacts. I'm continuously working with them, and they represent nice chunk of the sales.
Yeah, for it, we've gotten a lot of questions about ASD in February. We won't be going in February, everyone listening, but we'll be there in August the first time. Garrett's been
We'll be there in numbers in August.
Yeah, be a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And then in terms of like how the business has evolved, do you kind of want to walk us through a little bit of the timeline in terms of like this year we started Amazon, this year we started doing eBay, this year we started Shopify, just to kind of conceptualize how the operations evolved over the years?
So in the first 6-8 months, we did the Shopify store. When we start, which is a decade ago. And right there, after 6 months, we start the Amazon store. So after Amazon store, we saw so much potential. The products were selling like crazy. So we basically start doubling down on Amazon. We still were selling on the website. We never stopped doing that. But we saw so much potential. So we start basically buying other Amazon stores or opening brand new company and start selling at the Amazon store. So, and we continue doing it. I mean, so far we have 15 Amazon accounts, like I mentioned before, and they're all doing well. You know, my reasoning also behind each time I reach like $200,000 a month in one store, I'm start considering getting a new one, you know? Because again, it's too much of a risk having so much money in one account. I mean, I know people like, I don't know, Amazon Leads or Smart Scout, Buybox. I know they're just have one account and they're selling millions of dollars, but I just cannot sleep well having so much money in just one account. I know people personally who have millions of dollars on hold with Amazon, and they're going through courts and all that, and they just get themselves bankrupt because of that. You know, it's a very risky doing it this way, but again, some people do it. It's just your choice. I really like having my high quality sleep at night.
Yeah, I completely agree. What's typically, because a lot of people, even I think a lot of people that are way too late to be considering this, want to have multiple accounts. Do you kind of want to let the viewers know what lets you do that? Because in many cases you're not supposed to do that, but there's obviously, I know there are some, I guess, like legal within Amazon ways to do it,
right? So you can partner up with different business partners. You know, you don't have to be, they don't have to be under your name. You can have a business partner and have that account under that person. That's one way to do it, which is most of my accounts are like that. Or you can buy accounts that already have, you just switch the company under your name and you still have the contact information of the other person. Now, one of the reasoning also Amazon don't want you to sell on the same, different accounts, but same products. That's where the issue is. As long as you have different accounts selling different products, there shouldn't be an issue if they just find out that you're also part of the company, you know? You just need to make sure you don't have same products and the same different accounts.
Yeah. And that's typically categorically differentiation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if I sell home goods in one account and I sell supplements in the other account, shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
You know,
tactically speaking, do you do anything to access different accounts from like a computer perspective, like whether it's VPNs or?
Yeah, I have all my accounts are, even the one that is directly under my name is still in the VPS. They're all in the VPS. And I got suspended a couple of times for related accounts, which had nothing to do with me, but I was be able to reinstate them with no problem, as long as you can show them, you know, the proof that is independent company that have nothing to do with the other company.
Yeah. So you got your hands in obviously Airbnb and all of these Amazon accounts. What does your day-to-day look like in terms of operationally? How do you structure your day?
So operationally, I mean, my morning routine is with my operation is I always go through all the accounts to check the sales, check the account health. I do have a team that constantly on top of that, but I still like it to review it because you can have somebody watching that. But if something happens, what are you going to do? You're going to blame them, but it's still the account is suspended or something because some of the claims were not taken care of on time. So that's one of the things that I do all the time. The other thing is I constantly looking for new relationship with the brands or vendors. You know, that's something I also do. I do have a team that they constantly sending the emails, buying the products from the vendors, all that. But when you want to have some sort of big brand relationship, you know, you don't want, at least I don't have a team yet that can do that approach. You know, I'd rather do it myself because it's an important account. Let's say, you know, it's a big brand and it's really representing or could represent a lot in sales for your business. I take care of that, you know. I also dealing with funding, you know, constantly looking for more money to the business. If you want to grow, the way I see it, I mean, if you want to sell $40 million a month in your business, you need to have $40 million in your business. That's the way I see it. You know, it's the numbers. That's how they look. You know, there's no way that you're going to have, I don't know, $100,000 and then you're going to sell $10 million. That's the way it doesn't look that way, you know? So money is always, I always constantly looking for additional funds, better interest or better investment or investor. So that's another job that I do all the time.
Got you. And speaking of your team, what does that look like? Is it a lot of virtual assistants or domestic employees?
I have both. I have about, right now, about 10 VAs, virtual assistants, and I have 8 people here in Kendall warehouse, and I have about 5 people in my Doral warehouse.
Uh-huh. And so are the domestic employees solely warehouse type tasks, or are any of those doing some of the computer work as well, similar to like what a VA could do? And how does that differentiate task wise between VAs and domestic?
So my purchasing team is in-house. So I have 3 people who are doing the purchases. I really don't like to outsource that. I didn't have, it's very delicate because it's dealing with the money, with the credit cards. And you know, I don't think, I mean, you could do it, but I rather to have it in-house. I have a bookkeeper in-house. I have a CPA that constantly working with me as well. I also have, and then the rest is in the warehouse, you know, the prepping, receiving the orders, sending the orders. Now the VAs, I have a junior VA who helps me with basically managing other VAs. I have a couple of VAs doing reimbursements on Amazon, creating cases, but that's a lot of work. And there's a lot of inventory lost, you know, and Amazon owes you money for that. I mean, I do have softwares that automatically also provide the information, but I have a VAs constantly doing and opening the cases. So I also have social media, of course. I'm doing my personal brand. That's something I think everyone should do it. I know Miles does a great job. It's helped me, believe it or not, it does help me also in a world of creating relationship with the brands or whatnot. You know, they see that you have a reputation, that they see that you have a social media presence and all that.
Yeah, it adds such a depth, right? And that people can look you up and be like, okay, wow, this guy isn't just some small Amazon seller that started last week. He's been at it for a while and everything. It's the exact same thing just talking to other Amazon sellers, in that, like, if you're listening to this and you DM one of us from a private account with 17 followers, zero posts, you got no profile picture, you're going to get, whether or not this is right or wrong, you're going to get a much worse answer than the guy who you can see, okay, he was sending out a shipment yesterday. He's really doing it. He's doing his thing to talk to other people. You just get a higher quality of response as well from that. So, like, and it costs no money too. So it's like kind of
right
on that for sure. So everyone should really do that. I completely agree.
Right. Right.
You can see Miles perks up anytime we bring up personal branding on the podcast. His ears get all.
No, I think I've been doing it for past like 3 years. And it helped me tremendously in many aspects, you know, dealing with the vendors, business relationships. I mean, a lot, you know, and again, a reputation plus you helping people. I love help people by doing the podcast, giving, providing classes, providing the information, just helping people at least to not make same mistakes or less mistakes than, you know, I did. So that's the main reasoning to give back.
So in terms of helping people, that's a good segue. You offer distribution to other Amazon sellers, yes?
I do distribution because I buy a lot of different brands, a lot of different products. Some of them requires huge MOQs, you know? So the best way I found to leverage other sellers is to basically resell them some of those MOQs. Let's say I have to buy 10,000 units of a specific product. I'm taking huge risk of buying that product just for my stores, you know? But if I leverage other sellers, let's say I'm gonna sell you, I don't know, 2,000 units, then I'm gonna sell you 1,000 units, then I'm mitigating my risk. And I also have better cash flow, you know, with I can now buy more products, different SKUs, you know. And I've been doing it for a couple of years now, and my operation scaled a lot because of that, because now I have more options, how many products I can buy. I have a better buying power. And plus, I'm constantly working with different sellers and understanding what's going on also with their needs, you know? And once they purchase the products, I do fulfillment for them, you know? So it's, if people are not here in Miami, they don't have to come and pick it up and spend that money. I charge them a reasonable price and I do fulfillment for them as well, you know?
And so what does that look like? Is there some website people can go and sort of look through the products, open up an account? Or is it all just sort of your personal relationships with different resellers?
So I'm the way I started, I was just doing, like you said, personal, like one-on-one. And I still do that with the big buyers, you know, the one who purchase, I don't know, at least like 100K a month. You know, I'm still dealing with them directly. But I start building like different channels. Like I build one WhatsApp right now. So I'm adding buyers to that channel. And my people in the warehouse, they send in the deals that we're getting. And they're just sending the email to the orders of my company. Like there's a special email and they just process that order for them, you know? So I'm trying to create some sort of an automation for that. Because again, if it's a big order, I can deal with it. But there's a lot of people who just want to buy, I don't know, $5,000-$10,000. You know, it's, I don't want to let them go, but at the same time, my time dealing with them, it's not worth it either, you know. So I'm creating those automations plus adding my teammate so they can also work with them, you know.
Got you. And where do you see the biggest opportunity in e-commerce right now? On which sales channel and which are you most excited to keep expanding on?
So definitely Amazon, it's still a number one for me. I see Amazon, it's very, it's you need to understand how it works. You know, Amazon sometimes put you in a really bad spot because of new regulations and new policies. And then you think this is end of basically doing business with Amazon. And then in 6 months or 12 months, they come out with new tools and new things for you to help you to even scale your business. You know, and right now that's what's happening. I think Amazon helps a lot right now to sellers. There's to give you an example, the account insurance, which now you don't have, your account is not going to get suspended if you.
Yeah, that's huge. That was a big step.
That's a big one. You know, before it was like, oh my God, you get your account suspended and your whole operation stops. I mean, in my case, I have diversified a lot, so it doesn't affect me as much. But for the people who are starting, at least they have that opportunity now, you know, to work with Amazon and get the account back on good standing. Same thing with appealing the ASINs and the inventory tools. I mean, all that wasn't there before. You know, it was a lot harder to work with. So I think Amazon constantly improving, and it's getting better and better for us as sellers there.
Got you. And then what's the biggest bottleneck for you to continue growing the business?
So my bottleneck, I think the bigger you get, the bigger challenges are. Okay. And again, I grow a lot. I went down and back. So my top sales in my businesses were around $30 million. So, but I had so many problems, so many challenges, and I had so many setbacks. So it's just sometimes it's not worth it, you know? So I am down right now, let's say to $20 million in sales in a year, and it's less stressful. So my plan is to continue in that not less stressful environment, okay? Getting that cash flow, getting that capital, and reinvesting into passive income like properties. I think property is the best way to build your net worth, okay? So if you're making, to give an example, if you're making $100,000 in profit every single month, out of those $100,000, you can start putting aside in buying properties, you know? And in 10 years, 20 years, you have a portfolio of bunch of properties that you may even pay them off and you can live off that, you know? And it doesn't matter what happens with Amazon because you don't need that anymore. So I think everyone should also have that in mind. They need to be, you always need to think ahead, you know? You need to be in the business that you're in right now, but you also need to think about the future, what's going to happen in future, and be prepared for it, you know? And that's my constant analysis, where I'm at right now, what I'm doing right now, how I can improve it, and then what I can do and what I'm doing for my future.
So to the viewer that's watching this right now, just watch the episode, either is just starting with Amazon or is wants to make that first account, make that first wholesale account. What's those first couple actionable steps that you would advise? And then on the alternative, what are some mistakes that you made in the beginning that you would advise for them to avoid?
I got asked this question many times, and my answer is always the same. The people who start selling, the best way to start is do arbitrage, okay? Buy small quantities. It's very small investment. How many units you can buy in a store? 5 units, 10 units. You know, it's a very small investment. Understand how the whole platform works. You know, sending products, analyzing the product, receiving the money from Amazon, the whole cycle. You understand it really well. And then you can start little by little scaling your business. But the people, the mistake that they make, they want to start selling millions of dollars from 1 month to another. You know, they're not allowing to time to learn everything, you know, how the whole ecosystem of Amazon works. And then when something happens to them, they get the account shut down, or the products they went all in, they cannot sell it. They just give up, you know? And my advice is to slow down, give time to learn and understand how the whole platform works. And then little by little, you can scale it.
Completely agree. I think it's exactly what I would say to beginners as well. So thanks, man. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, it's very easy to find me as long as you know how to spell my name. It's a great name for SEO, but it's hard to spell. So the way you spell is A-L-E-K-S-E-J-S. And my last name is L-E-A-L. I'm very active on Instagram. I'm now also active on Twitter. So if you want to DM me, ask me any questions, you're more than welcome to do so, and I will answer it for you.
Sounds good, man. We'll definitely go check that out. And thanks for joining us. And thanks to everyone for listening as well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Ben.